today, well, you know what? We have to still do the Mincha Gedolah. Let's maybe move ahead a little bit, then we'll come back to Mincha Gedolah. That we did not do. Okay, but in the meantime, let's go by the Pasuk says, Hamavlik Shoid Al Oz. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's right away read the Mitzudos David. It's hard to translate. And the Shoid Al Nivtzor Yavoi. Hamavlik. Okay, Pasuk, page 318. Pasuk Tes, Perek Hey, Pasuk Tes. Hamavlik means to strengthen. Shoid means churban. Haloihu mechazeh shoid the churban al am oz. Okay, the shoid ritzon loymar. Again, I'm reading the mitzudos, page 319 on the very, very bottom. Ritzon loymar v'chein yavai churban al hamivtzar. This means to say, and likewise, the end of the pasuk, a shoid, destruction. Al miftzar, upon the stronghold will come. What does this mean? Shatem boitchim boy, ucha oimer, v'chein dirshu es Hashem v'chiu. It means this, and likewise it says, seek out Hashem and live. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a little bit vague. Shatem boitchim boy, ucha oimer choyl v'chein dirshu Hashem v'chiu. It's going back to the previous pasuk. Do not allow this to happen. Hashem, at this point, is set on bringing churban. Hamavlik, on page 318, Pasuk Tes, Hamavlik, in the Mitzudos David on page 318, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is set on bringing destruction. Shoid means destruction. Hamavlik means to strengthen. Hashem, Hashoid the Hashoid the. That's in a positive form. Okay, but Shoid here means to bring destruction. Hamavlig means to strengthen. So the two words together mean it's not just going to be a churban, it's going to be a churban of shock and awe. Okay, it's we're doubling up two words. Doubling up words are strengthened with destruction. It's going to be in a very intense form of churban. And then the pasuk, if you're not satisfied with what I've just told you, let me repeat myself. Shoid, destruction, al mivsar, on a stronghold, yavo will come. Warning, will come. Okay, let's see. Obviously, there's a lot more going on here. We'll see in a few moments. Let's go for. Yeah.
Isn't there a kina that starts out something like Mavli Gisi?
Yes, Mavligisi. So what does it mean, Mavligisi? No, that's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. That's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Mavligisi. What does it mean? What does it mean there? That's the Haftorah. That is the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hamavligisi. It's a very hard word to say with the trap. There's two. It's a very unusual word because it has two traps. Has two traps, but it's not your typical two traps. It's like Mamish, one of the biggest yotzim in HaKlal. Okay, I didn't realize. We'll have to come back and look at that. I'll do it for tomorrow. Okay, but I want to look up the Mepharshim and see how it ties into this word. You really touched upon something really, really good. Hamavli Gisi. Okay, here in the Tisha B'Av. Okay, it's probably in the middle. Begins the first word of the Pasuk. Hamavli Gisi. I forgot what it means. Let's see the whole pasuk. Let's see here. Here's Mavli Gisi. It's towards the beginning. Ale Yogoin. And so here it means the same thing. You're right. It means you have prevailed upon me. You have prevailed upon me suffering. Alai libi davoy. Upon me, my heart has become sick. Mavli Gisi, you have overpowered me. Ale with yogoin, with sorrow. You have overpowered me. I have been overcome with, overwhelmed with sorrow. And my heart, olai, libi, davoy, my heart is sick. So here you're saying very, very good. It means to be overwhelmed. Hamavlik shoid al os. You overwhelm destruction upon the mighty. Mighty and arrogant who think they are never going to be destroyed, who will never suffer defeat, suddenly they're overwhelmed with the degree and the massiveness of the destruction that has come upon them. And here also is exactly what it means in this pasuk in Yirmiyah. Now what's very unique about this pasuk in Yirmiyah is that it could be one of the only psukim in Tanakh where you have a double trop, two ta'amei ha-mikra, that are not a pashto and a zokef karton. Okay, it's very interesting you mentioned this now because I actually had a discussion with a very big expert in trop this past week. Let me explain. You know, everyone in the Chumash, you know, we have there's a sequence called a mapach, pashto, munach, kotoin. There are four words part of a sequence. Four different words. Mapach, pashto, munach, kotoin. And throughout Chumash, sometimes we only have a pashto. In sequences of psukim and expressions, sometimes you just have the first three. Mapach pashto. Not really. Mapach pashto. We skip the middle one, kotoin. Sometimes, very rarely, we just have a kotoin, a zokev kotoin. We just skip the other three. Sometimes we have the second. It's very common to have us the second, a pashto.
That's usually at all.
Oh, no. I'm not talking. I know what you're talking about. Sometimes the pashto. You have to be very careful. Sometimes it's a kadma viazla. I'm not the scholar.
Kadma
katon. Well, no,
that's
you don't
what
really.
It usually is when it's followed
no,
by
no,
a baton.
No, it's not a pashto.
It's not
a pashto.
The Quran Chumash, you'll see.
No,
they
it's.
They make a difference between the kadma and the pashto.
Right. They make a difference between a kadma and a pashto, but when you have them together, it's a pashto, not a kadma.
It's on one word, it's a kadma.
Oh, no, it's not a kadma. On one
no,
word, it's a kadma. On one word, it's not a kadma, if I'm not mistaken. It's a pashto katon. The difference is when you have a kadma, a pashto is always, without exception, the last syllable of the word. Now, what happens is when there are exceptions and you have to make the kadma the second to last syllable, so then they show a double. The symbols they use today is to have a double pashto. There's a pashto at the end of the word to indicate that it's a pashto, not a kadma, and then they put a second one in the word where they want the emphasis to be applied. So we need really to have a chart, a diagram to show. But let's not go there for now. The point I just want to make over here is like this: there's a sequence of trop, four words: mapach, pashto, munach, kotoin. Let's just not focus on the kadma, just these four words. And you have just a selection from these four. You'll have the first one, the second one, the fourth one, all the various combinations. And then there's something very unique, where you have in one word itself, you have both the pashto and the koton. You told me that's a kadma, I think it's a pashto, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but let's just make believe for now that it's the pashto and the koton. So I asked someone. Now the minig is that when you have the pashto and the katoin, the minig of the balei kriya is to have a very elaborate nigun, the aharon. If it would be an aharon, mapach aharon, and if it would be a katoin, mapach pashto munach aharon. But when the two go together in one word, a pashto and a katoin in one word, it's aharon, you make this whole nice nigun. So I asked someone who's a real, real mumcha, is this the pshat that is when you have a pashto and a katon, is that a new trop? It's there's a whole new trop called pashto katon,
right?
Stands
on
its own. It's not really a pashto and a katon.
It's a different trop.
Because the minig is to sing it very elaborately, or is it the pshat that, no, really it's a pashto and it's a katon in one word, and for some reason, the balei kriya take the liberty of elaborating.
You need
to bridge. Right?
So, they're doing something that's if you learn that it's two separate tamei hamikra, so then you wouldn't necessarily think that you should elaborate and sing it in such an elaborate form.
No, somebody told me that you don't. I never do. I give it a little. I don't anymore. But at the end, they act that you're supposed to only emphasize the last part.
Okay.
Not the first
part. Not the first part. But so the question is this a new trop? It's a new Tamei HaMikra? Or is it, no, it's two separate Tamei HaMikra, which happen to be on one word. So he said, this is a person, his name is Binyamin Levitz. Binyamin Levitz, he's a Meicher Sfarim. His father is Binyamin Levitz. He now runs the business. And he's a mumche, like none other. He really, really, really knows. And he said to me, I really don't know the answer to that question. He does not know. It can very well be, he says that in Echnami, it's a whole different trap. It's not that Stam is a Pashto with a Kotoin. Or maybe, like you're saying, it's not even, it's a Kadma. It's a whole different trap. And this is the trap for the word. And that's why you have an elaborate nigun. But maybe no, maybe it's two separate Tamei HaMikra, which come together in one word. And it's the only time, this is the only time you have a double trap. I'm not talking about the rear Tameim, you know, there are certain very, very funny exceptions. I'm talking about normally this is the only time you have on one word a double Tamei HaMikra, and because it's such a bizarre exception, it begs the question, maybe it's not really an exception, maybe it's a unique trap. It's a unique trap. So he did not know the answer to this question, but what is interesting is there is one other exception, and that is the word that you just mentioned, Rabbi Michal, is, it's amazing how you know this. How do you know all this, Rabbi Michal? You remember this? I never imagined. Mavli Gini, but who knows Yirmiyah? Who studies these things?
I remember that Rashi will pick it up, but I remember it having to do with Tishabov.
Mavli Gisi, right. Mavli Gisi, in the beginning, towards the beginning of the Haftarah, and what is so unique about Mavli Gisi is that there are two tropes, not the typical Pashto and Katon, but a mercha and a tipcha. Mercha, tipcha, munach, es nachta. So on the one word, it's mahavli gisi. It's two, and as I said it right, it's a mercha and a tipcha. Well, right, it's correct.
Sing
echa trop. But where do you have in Tanakh ever that we lane one word which has both on the same word, a mercha and a tipcha? Never. Never. There's no such thing. This is the only time you have such a thing on this, a one word, to have two Tamei HaMikra, mercha, tipcha. And there must be something very special about this word, very deep in what is the significance in having the double Tamei HaMikra. This, you can't go tell me it's a new trop. It's two separate Tamei HaMikra on one word, something we've never ever seen before anywhere. And if you'll notice on Tisha B'Av, many Balei Kriya, even the real experts, they have a hard time saying Mavli Gisi.
I hear it in my head saying it, Mavli Gisi.
Because it's a mercha and a tipcha on a single word. And it means there, Hashem, you have overwhelmed me. I am overwhelmed with sorrow.
Maybe it has to do with being a Tam HaMafsik and not a Tam HaMafsik. You know what I mean? And it's because
the drush of a,
yeah.
The Tamei HaMikra don't just give melody.
When you're saying it, they give tipcha. It's, in other words, it's both because it's so overwhelming.
Yeah, it has many flavors.
It continues and finishes me off at the same time.
And so this is really something very, very, very fascinating. This word, Mavli Gisi, where is it over here again? It's in the beginning.
Where?
The beginning of the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av. Asoif Asifei B'Num Hashem. You go a few psukim. Mavli Gisi. Under the Lamed is the Mercha, and under the Saf is the Tipcha. Never ever do you have something like this. And this word is the same exact word used over here in Pasuk Tes, Hamav Lig. Hashem showed, Hashem overwhelms man with destruction, not just Al Oz, upon the man or the city or the item that was thought to be mighty and indestructible. And yet, not only is it destroyed, it is overwhelmed with Chorban. And the Pasuk repeats itself, just in case you don't get the message, V'shoid al mivtzor yavoy, destruction will come upon the stronghold, upon the mighty and the massive. Okay, so there's a message. Now, before we go further, the word showed, so you're right, Rashi quotes it. Okay, Rashi, how come I didn't pay attention to this? Rashi quotes this. Hamavli gisi ale yagoin. Rashi actually quotes this pasuk that we just mentioned. Okay, and the avligo me'ot, I will be overwhelmed just a little bit. It means to be hamagbir. Magbir means to prevail upon. Okay, look at Rashi. Shoid, what is shoid? Adam shodud v'chalosh. A person who is broken. He is shattered. Robbed. V'chalosh. Dimgabar, he quotes now the Targum. Dimgabar chaloshin al takifin. Hashem causes the weak. He's learning the pasuk not like the Mitzudos of David. Let's first review, see what Rashi, then we'll compare the two together. Rashi says the word shoid does not mean destruction. I take that back, at least according to the parish of Rashi. The Mitzudos does say it means destruction. And according to Rashi, shoid means a person who is weak, a weakling. Sounds almost like the Chanukah. What?
A person who's a victim, a weak. Like, show the dim are bandits, and this is the
opposite.
Victim.
Exactly, as this fits into the general rule that a word, when you manipulate its vowels, it means the extreme opposite. The Pasuk says
to plant and to uproot.
To plant, so what? Yishrosh, yisharesh. Yishrosh means to take root, and yisharesh means to uproot. What does Miriam mean? Miriam, sweetness. Anyone here have anyone they know by the name of Miriam?
Yeah, of course. Sure.
So, your wife's name is?
A second name.
Miriam, so what does Miriam mean? Sweetness. How could the Miriam mean sweetness? Miriam comes from the word mar. Vayimoriru es chayehem ba'avoido kasha. They embitter their life. Moror. You call a woman moror? You call a woman bitter? Moitzi ani es hoisha mar mi moves.
What
does she say?
Don't call me
moror. Moror, okay? Pasuk, Marmi Mavis, a woman is Marmi Mavis. So then the woman Miriam, you hit the nail on the head. This is the Nahus of a woman. Marmi Mavis. How in the world would Amram call his daughter Miriam? Miriam, the answer is, well, she was born during a very bitter time. So what? She was born in a very bitter time in the history of Klal Yisrael. So just because your daughter was born in a bitter time, you call her Miriam? The answer is no. It's very bitter. But when you manipulate any word in the Hebrew language, it becomes the extreme opposite. If Miriam means bitterness, if Mar means Moror, means bitterness, that's with Mar as a patach, or Moror with a komatz. That's not Miriam, is a chirik. Me, not Mor, Mar. Me. When you manipulate the vowel, it's the extreme opposite. It means sweetness. And it doesn't just mean a little bit of sweetness. It means it's so sweet, you can't even eat it. It's so sweet because Yud-Mem connotes plural, polarity. You emphasize, you multiply it. Yud-Mem. Whenever you want to take something from the singular and you want to make it into the plural, you add a Yud-Mem. So Mar is bitter. Mir is sweet. And then when you add the Yud Mem, it doesn't just mean sweet, it means very, very sweet, delicious.
Or very, very bitter.
That would be Moriam. That would be Moriam. Or it, oh. Mem, with a komatz under the Mem, it's Mor. Or a patach under the Mem, it's Mar. Moitzi ani es ho'isha Mar mimodes. Or Vayimoriru eschayehem, but that's not her name. Her name is Mir,
yeah.
with a chiruk, a one dot under the name, just like Yishrosh. The same exact letters. Yishrosh means to take root. Take those same letters, just change the vowels. Yisharesh, uproot, to uproot. Chalitza, what's chalitza? Chalitzas hanoal, to untie your, to loosen your shoes, to untie your shoes, open up the straps and loosen the shoes. Chalitzas hanoal, the mitzvah of chalitza. Okay, everyone says chalitza. Yeah, when it comes Rosh Chodesh, we say chilutz atzamos. Hashem, please grant us a Yom Tov of chilutz atzamos. Our bones should be loose. What? Your bones should be loose. You're in a lot of trouble. Okay? No. You're in a lot of trouble if you have loose. Someone once told me the pshat is, don't mean you should, don't, someone told me you should exercise. If you exercise, then your bones are loose. I don't really go for that. Okay? No. Yeah, sure, exercise, but it's not, I don't really think that's what it means.
No,
it means,
maybe it means more like coordinated, you know, that they,
no, it's very
they
simple.
Work together.
No, you don't have to say, it's very simple. Chalitza means to loosen. That's cha with the patach. Chilutz with a chiruk means they should be firm in their sockets, tight. They should be firmly in their sockets with no problems whatsoever. That's health. Good health means that your bones, they fit in.
In English, it says strengthen.
So
the difference between there's no mincha shai, but the radak is lengthy, and the targum is doesn't have the same translation.
Al dhavo mal igin lekavel nviyaya dimisnaven lechayim dovono v'sei nachta aisi lechayim mekadam chavik. I don't know. We have to see what this means more precisely. I don't know. I hear what you saying. I don't know.
It's a lot to make fun of, but it says to seek strength. The mechaske.
Yeah, that's how he translates it here.
Yeah.
Inyun hischazkus. The mitzvah says, I will strengthen myself. So in this, it's not the form of the word is the way it's being used. It means strengthen. Right. So in this passage, he's saying mavli gisi ale. It's a bakosha. Mavli gisi, strengthen me ale yogoin from my sorrow. Hashem, I'm in a situation where I'm in pain.
I can't deal with it.
I'm asking you, please help me.
Right.
Please help me. Okay. I have to look at all the mepharshim, see how each, I'm sure there must be a lot of different interpretations. But in this context, we have different interpretations as well. Rashi here is telling us, Hamavlig, Shoid. So here, Shoid means, Shoid is exactly what, so going back to this first bishop, one foot at a time. Let's just first go back to the word Shoid. So you said something very, very good. Shoid means normal shoididim. Shoididim means plunderers, robbers.
Right.
But then the same exact letter shin dalet, when you manipulate its vowels, like in this case, instead of it showed, or here it's also the same vowels. Okay, I don't know, but a word can many times mean itself and its opposite, usually through the manipulation of the vowels, and here Rashi is teaching us it means a victim, not the plunderer, the perpetrator, but the victim, the victim. So it says here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to strengthen the shod, the victim, al oz, over the mighty. In other words, the Hanukkah miracle, Giboirim v'yad chaloshim. Okay, that's how Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk. Hashem will cause the weak to prevail upon the mighty. The Shod, again, the Pasuk repeats itself, Al Mifsar, upon the stronghold Yovo. This is Perish Rashi. The Mitzudos did not say this. The Mitzudos clearly says it means, Hamavlik Shod, Hashem will overwhelm you with destruction. He translates the word Shod in the typical form. It means to plunder. It means destruction. Hashem will cause the mighty to suffer, to become victims. Hamavlik, Hashem will prevail upon the mighty and arrogant. Shod Chorbin, they will suffer destruction. And it's going back to review that point. It's a very important point. Miriam means an abundance of sweetness, just like Yishrash means to take root, verse Yisharesh, to uproot. Just like chalitza means to loosen, verse chilutz atzamos, the bones shall be firmly inserted into their sockets. That's good health. Don't ask any doctor, right? If the bones are in the sockets and they're firm, then Baruch Hashem, that's a sign of health. Is that correct, Dr. Friedman? Sign of health. What else does it mean? Chilutz atzamos. You say this, everyone's running to shul, all the women. What woman doesn't is not moisir nefesh to come to shul on Shabbos mevarchim? So then ask everyone, what does it mean in the siddur? Chilutz atzimus, define that word. We say that in the Birchas Rosh Chodesh. Chilutz atzimus. Chalitza means to loosen. You want your bones to be loose in their sockets? Is that what you want? What does it mean? So it's, some I guess, oh, it means exercise. When you exercise, the bones a little loose. That's not
that, the term for exercise.
That's not the right word. That's not what it means. Chilutz means the bone should be firmly in the sockets. There should be no danger. That's really what it means. That's why I always like to tell you that this is my vart, and some people like it, some don't like it. Is why is it called Tzion? Tzion v'Yerushalayim. One of my favorite things I tell you here many times. Tzion v'Yerushalayim. Tzion. Why is it so called Tzion? There's another word in Tanakh called Tzoyoyim with a komatz. Tzoyoyim means land, earth that is arid, dry, completely void of any moisture whatsoever. Tzoyon. 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 But there's a word, Tzoyon. It appears in Yeshaya multiple times. Tzoyoyim. With a komatz. Tzoyoyim. All over Yeshaya. A land that is dry, arid, nothing. And all of a sudden we hear there's something called Tzion. Tzion halos tishali l'shloim asirayich. What is Tzion? It's the word Tzion, manipulated. The vowels go from a komatz to a chirik, which means the opposite of dry, wet, moist, fertile. Ki mitzion teitze soira. Why do we call Eretz Yisrael a wet, moist, dry land? What is Mayim symbolic of? Mayim is symbolic of Hoy kol tzomei l'chula mayim. Ein mayim ela toira. Ki mitzioin teitze soira. Okay, so this is a yisoid. It goes through and through. Most people don't know what their name means. Everyone has a Miriam in their life. And they don't know. What is Miriam? Miriam, what did Miriam bring? The Be'er. What was the original problem? They came, the Mayim were bitter. The first time the Jewish people came across the water, when they came, they bitter. And then in the Zechus of Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu, he made the Mayim sweet. And Chazal said, whose merit the Klal Yisrael have with them, the Be'er, the 40 years in the desert? Miriam. Why? Because the waters were bitter? The waters were not bitter. The waters were sweet. But how are they sweet?
Because
eight. So we call the water the bitterness, or we refer to the water the sweetness. It's not the Jewish way to focus on tragedy and suffering and pain. It's the Jewish way to focus on the positive. How do you focus on the positive? Mar means bitter. Mar means bitter. But when you manipulate the vowel from the komatz or the patach to a chirik, then it's the opposite. It means sweetness. And the Yud Mem connotes a double, an intensity of that sweetness. Okay, so this goes, I think it's the door on the side. Maybe the door going into the shul over there is open. Maybe. Okay. So this is what, because now with that in mind, this is a very important site of a shoy. We have two different interpretations. Okay. Two different interpretations of Hamavlik Shoid al Oz. If Shoid means destruction, or Shoid means the victim. The victim now will prevail upon his aggressor. It's basically the story of Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. Now, unfortunately, not in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. As far as Klal Yisrael, with all of their might, they will be humbled by enemies who are weaker than us. That's the curse that Amos is giving Klal Yisrael. If you're not going to shape up, let's read another pasuk. Sonu v'ashar mochiach. Okay, let's try to do a few things. The son of the Jewish who they hate in the gate in the mochiach. This is Musar. The shah. What does the shah refer to? The shah always refers to the bezdin. Like we find by Ben Soirer u'Moirer, you take the child to the shah ira in the gate. And they hate when the moral authority of Klal Yisrael gives them Musar. The Doiver Tomim, what?
The first time you have it in the Chumash is for the Bezdin, is below Yosheva Shar
Bashar. He was appointed a judge on that day. V'doiver tamim, a person that speaks with wholesomeness. Okay, a good person, that's tamim, yisoevu, is detested. He is detested by society. Okay, so let's see over here, let's see this pasuk yud in the mitzudos. Sanu v'heim im kol zeh sanu v'ashares ha-novi ha-mochiach. They detest, they hate and negate the Navi, the prophet that gives them Musar. Ritzon loymar, af v'sharhu ir b'mochim pirsum hema marim sina al hamochiach. The Mitzudas David is saying something a little bit different than I just told you, that the Shar does not necessarily mean the Bezdin, it means in public. The hatred for authority is in public. For the Mochiach, sometimes you have a society where, you know, when the Rav gets up, everyone has derech eretz. And then when you go home, you curse him out. You curse him out, right? That's not what chaval is. That when the society in the papers, kavod haTorah, everything is Torah, and at home, leave me alone, don't want to know from you. But over here, society has descended. That's also good to a degree. If you at least keep, you can pretend, that's also a saving grace. But when it gets to the point where even in public, they're humiliated and they have absolutely no respect, this already is the end. The end. What? People, they walk out. The rabbi, they don't like what the rabbi says. It's a statement of protest. Well, they get up and they get up and they. I once heard from a rabbi when I went to rabbi school back in the day, and there was the rabbi. He actually says that he was once giving a drasha. He says one of the best. He said it was one of the best experiences in the rabbanus that he grew from. And it was again, that truth of kimashmo. He was giving a drasha and it was a chashav olam. And a person got up in the middle of the drasha and started cursing him out. They did not like what he said, and he got up in front of the whole shul in the middle of the sermon and let the rabbi have it. And he said, I was able just to stand there, keep my mouth shut, and listen. The people were in shock, and eventually the person, he ran out of steam and he sat down. And he said, and then I just continued my drasha like nothing happened. So he says, he was mvazmi barabim, in front of a choshev olam, and I was able just to accept it, close my mouth, v'zehu. And he says, that was the highlight of my rabbanus. No, and you know, it's saying, it's a very powerful limud ha-musar. It's really, there really something to it. Be able to deal with criticism. I once went to a shir, I once went to Mitzvah Shabbos, to a shir in the Sugyus Fun Daf Yomi, every Mitzvah Shabbos, and there was a Rav, a Chashur Rav, very Chashur person, he got up, and this person's a real hands-on person who gets involved in a lot of things. And he got involved in a very ugly divorce. A very, very ugly Aguna case where, I guess it seems it was abuse, and he told the wife to call the police. Okay, he told the wife to call the police. And she called the police, and that set into motion a major, major chorban for everyone involved. And the rabbi had no charata. The rabbi felt that this is what was required in this situation. And the husband got into a lot of trouble. Everything spelled out of control. And the wife came from a family of very tough people. Obviously, the people in her family don't take things sitting down. They didn't like what the rabbi did. And they mamish roidev this rabbi. Wherever he went, they showed up. There were three people. They showed up to mimavaza him b'ram. It was amazing. I went to the shir mitzvah Shabbos. I'm saying, who comes to the shir there? Not more than 20 people. I don't go anymore. I used to go. Not more than 20 people. 15 people come to the shir. I see these three guys. I don't think, because a lot of times the rabbis, they bring their chassidim. When a rabbi speaks, you know, you have the core, 15 people who come every week. And then if the rabbi, a Reisman, you have mamish, 30, 40 people, all this chassidim is talmidim, you have a rashiva, you know, the chassidim come. It's very sad, you should know, when a rabbi comes and there are no chassidim, just the regulars, the 15 regulars, and there are no that's not so good, you know. Rabbi needs some chassidim to follow him around, some groupies, some fans. Right, some fans, some groupies to come. So most rabbanim don't get more than a handful of fans, if any. Some get mamish none. And this one, so I saw these three people. It didn't look like, I don't know, I didn't really pay much attention. And he says a shir, and about 20 minutes into the shir, they ask a question that has absolutely nothing to do with the share. In the share, there are people that ask questions sometimes, has nothing to do with the share. I mean, are you allowed to be, are you, is a rabbi allowed to be malsh in the chreis? Tell someone to call the police. And people were like, what? And then the people who had no clue that this rabbi was involved in this matter. They had no clue, mamish, no clue. And the rabbi didn't say a word. Kept his cool, mamish kept his cool. And then they started screaming and saying, and everyone was looking, and then the people were saying, quiet, quiet, what are you saying? And they got real nasty. And they couldn't control them. These three guys who were very tough, and they just kept on talking and screaming and screaming, and the people in the shul were fighting with them, be quiet, get out, blah, blah, blah. But the rabbi at the podium, quiet. No, listen what happened. But they got nastier and nastier, starker to Torah. And at some point they said something which obviously hurt him, touched him in a way, and then he responded. And that was the end of the shiur. When he spoke back, as an all Gehenim broke loose. Put it like that, and that, after 2 minutes I left. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to see what's going on over here. And I heard it went on the whole night. But once you begin to respond, that's it. There's no going back. It's a Musar Haskel. Unbelievable. Any event over here, that's exactly what the pasuk over here says. Sonu bashar mochiach. According to the Mitzudot stuff, this does not mean the Bezdin. The shar means in the public. In the public, they detested, they hated their mochiach. They spoke out. V'doiver tamim, a person that speaks with wholesomeness. Yisoevu, they detested. Look at the Mitzudos. V'stav doiver tamim, misha medaber dvorim timimim. The Yisharim, also that person, Misoavim, they hated. He was a hated individual in society. Rashi, let's do the Rashi two together. Mavlik, Hamagber, Kamagber, Kmoy, the Avligo Meot. Okay, I will be mechazek myself just a bit. Eoiv said, let me strengthen myself. Let me overcome my difficulties. Mavligisi ale yagoin. Okay, when we learn, you show me the pasuk of the deer, which deer pointed the mitzvah means that it's a bakosha, yirmiya, is asking Hashem, Hashem, strengthen me, give me the koyach to overcome my sorrow. Shoid, Rashi learns here, shoid means odom shodud vichalosh, the victim. Dim gabar, and then now he quotes the Targum to support this idea. Dim gabar, chaloshin al takifin, Hashem causes, allows the weak to prevail upon the mighty. Voizin al karkin takifin mashleit. Voizin, plunderers. Plunderers will succeed in overcoming, attacking, and destroying massive, powerful cities. Cities that kirakin takifin, cities that were mighty and powerful. No one ever imagined in a million years that these cities can be overtaken by a couple of thugs. That's what happened. If Hashem wants it to be, that's what's going to be. Who would ever imagine that Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, could be destroyed, could be overtaken by a bunch of barbarians? That's what happened. Why? If that's what Hashem wants, that's what will happen. Pasuk Yud, Sonu Vashar Mechiach, Atem Lo Yireisem Mipanov, Ubebnein Nivi'ov, That's what I told you. That it says shar, it does not mean in public. It means in the court. Okay, in the court system. Mitsudo Stav made no mention of the court. He learned the shar to mean the public thoroughfare. It's in the paper. It's in the newspapers. Go out, take a newspaper, you'll see the Mavaz Rabbanim. Over here, it doesn't say that. It says that in court. In court, there's no respect for law. It does not necessarily mean that in the newspapers.
You mean on social media?
That's according to the Mitsudos. The Mitzudos is social media. According to Rashi, he doesn't say that. Rashi says social media, maybe they're polite. But in court, they're disrespectful. Now, maybe according to Rashi, it's not as bad. Or maybe it's worse. Maybe on social media you have no respect, because there you can get away with it. But when you come to shul, you behave yourself. There are a lot of people like that, right? There are a lot of people that they say online things that they would never dare. They hide behind anonymity. They have fake identities. Okay, that's probably the biggest problem on the internet. Because the internet is wonderful. Social media is wonderful. People, you can use freedom of speech is wonderful. The only chesaron they forgot to put in the Constitution is you have to say who you are. You have to identify yourself. You have to have an address, a telephone number. It has to be on public record. The ability to have freedom of speech and maintain your anonymity, that's a very great danger. Free speech has been proven to be a very great blessing, to a degree. But that's not what free speech is today. Free speech is a society of anonymity. There are people that we know who they are. They're not embarrassed. Okay, good. Okay, very good. But they only have that power because they have cheerleaders. And who are their cheerleaders? Millions of people who are anonymous, who write the comments and all the things. They're anonymous. If you would take away the anonymity, it would be different. Totally different.
Anonymous source.
What?
Everything is anonymous source.
Well, not everything. Now, there are plenty of editors, editorials. They're not embarrassed. What?
The letters to the editor. How many
all
of them,
fake.
How they, few of them are actually signed with real names.
And they're allowed. And why do the newspapers allow it? Because they have nothing to write. If they know it's wrong, but if they would demand that there be a real person behind those names, people wouldn't send in anything, and then they would have nothing. No one would subscribe to their free newspaper. It's a fact. This is a fact, and it's a chaval that the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution did not have the insight to limit freedom of speech to a real person with a real name. It would change society in ways that we can't even imagine. It's right. You have to speak out, and like you said, there are editors of newspapers and of all who are not embarrassed. They say their name. They let good for them. Good for them. Kol hakavod. Kol hakavod. Say what you want to say. We may disagree, but at least we know who you are. But to just to shoot from the hip,
the lip,
whatever it is, just to do this is not. It's not. Yeah, you're saying, yeah, I got a point. But if you really, but there's just something to it of you know, who are you? Identify yourself. We want your phone number, your address. What do you do for a living? Where do you come from? Who are your parents? What kind of background? The world would be a different world.
That's Rabbi Yehuda's kind of, but Rabbi Meir, but the Yesh Omer and the things he said, you know, Mayim Onushosim, but what are their names? How come we don't mention them? I mean,
it's a very big topic of it in Chazal. In Chazal, what do Chazal say about anonymity? Right. What do they say? Look, you know, the Chazon Ish, when he publishes, look at books today. Today, I don't think anyone today can get away in the firm world, in the Haredi world, publishing a sefer and be anonymous.
Under pseudonym.
Pseudonym or anonymous. Today, it doesn't exist. Today, it just doesn't exist.
Well, it's dangerous. You have to know who.
No one would touch it, right.
It's not that. It's that people demand. They want to know who your references are and, you know.
Exactly. But however, not so long ago, the Chazon Ish himself, when he published his first sefer, he was anonymous. Didn't say who. The Ilum Shema. No, doesn't say who the author was. Today, he couldn't get away with it. If he would come to society today, he couldn't get away with it. No, yeah.
Don't you think the term is always very machbin in saying who this person is or his parents?
No,
are?
Pliny Almoni. You have Pliny Almoni in Rus, Mashiach.
But that's a very rare exception.
It's rare, but this is a big topic. You have to go to a lecture. Someone can go and research this entire thing in the Gemara. There are all different examples in the Gemara.
That's what Parshim say. That's because Lashon Hara. You don't want to say that the person mention a name not for good.
But
we right. make a we don't make a psak from it from those times like Slavka.
Plagiarism is a whole massive topic. I told you last 2 weeks ago what plagiarism is. Listen, the Art Scroll biography of Meir Zlotowitz. It's not his Vars, but other people say the same thing. Is if you steal from one person, that's called plagiarism. But if you steal from many people, that's called research.
You Google. No, I mean, if you're quoting, it's not stealing.
Yes and no. There's truth to it. It's research. You have a safer, the whole safer. What is the whole safer? It's a ligot.
Sorry.
It's a ligot.
As a researcher.
A lot of Sepharm is a collection of everyone else's works. It's a ligot. So it's not. There's nothing original in the safer. That's called research. But if you take someone else's work and just republish it, it's plagiarism. Or whatever. It's a joke. It's not perfectly accurate, but it's an idea. Look, the Mishnah Berurah quotes chunks of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And he doesn't attribute where he took it from. Mamash chunks. Mamash, a whole page. In the Ber Halacha. He doesn't say that he took this straight out of the Shulchan, took it straight out of the Bala Tanya. It doesn't say anything. How you talking? It was a different. The other Gedolim, Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima, half the Sefer is just copied from other some. He doesn't attribute where he got the sources from. Today it's criminal. Today what the Chofetz Chaim did in the Mishnah Berurah in certain parts is mamish criminal. Criminal. It would be banned before it even gets published. And like
self-published.
So. And the Torah Tamima, forget, he'll be put in prison. Mamish, because the whole. So what's the pshat? Different time. It was a different time, and there were different standards. There's a different set of rules of what is acceptable, what's not acceptable. Times have changed. It's a different environment. Let's go further.
It's a different thing, though, because they're trying to tell you what the halacha is in the Mishnah Berurah.
But today,
it's understood that it's not coming from him originally.
Yeah, but he's quoting a chunk. He's quoting a mamish. He's quoting a massive chunk. It's a whole page. Today, any Baal Halacha today, take today the biggest poskim today. They publish Svarim. The Chosh V'Talmidei Chacham that publish Svarim, which are widely accepted and anticipated. People are looking forward. And the moment it comes out, they're sold out. If they would do the same thing and in their Sefer, they would take a chunk of text from another Sefer and not attribute where they got this from, and finished. Finished in 1 second. They give a speech. If the first lady gives a speech and she has one sentence that's word for word from another first lady, you see what goes on. You see the whole it's plagiarism. Okay, so you see what goes. We see the climate of today, and that climate of the secular world creeps in 100% into the standards of the Jewish world in halacha and hashkafa without question. We are mushba from environment. Infinitely more than we think. Okay, who really controls this world? Hollywood. Hollywood controls the world. We don't, like I told you, I read this in the Jewish Action a couple of years ago in the OU. It is so on point. Is that the whole world, you don't realize, the whole world is mushba from what's coming out of Hollywood. It trickles down. This entertainment is the bread and butter of life. The meat and potatoes, bread and butter of what life is all about. Everyone needs entertainment. They go to the movies. Whatever values are presented on the big screen, on television, it seeps in. It seeps in subtly into society. And from the goyim who watch it, the way they deal with the Jews, it goes right to... So every Jew who's living in a ghetto under a rock is mushba from all the films that are being produced in Hollywood. Because it trickles down. The values and the morals and the ideals of what's trickling down, it trickles down into every corner of this world. And we make believe it's not true. I never saw a television show my whole life. I never watched a movie. There are people today like that. There are people like that in the Haredi world. They never ever saw television. They never went online on the internet. There are people. They're still mushba. Because they live in a world that's affected by this approach, and they deal with people all the time, and that's how it is. Okay, so here we have this frightening concept of how the people who are morally upright are detested and hated in public, in Beis Din, and this very beautiful expression, v'doiver tamim. It's a very beautiful expression, someone who speaks with wholesomeness. V'yakov ish tam, yoyshev ha'hom. Yaakov was an ish tam. Ishtam. What is it? Ishtam? What is it? Ishtam with the komatz? Ishtam. And he was an Ishtam. Here, there's another type of person. He's a doiver tomim. He speaks with wholesomeness. He's not just an Ishtam. He promotes it. He promotes it with dibur. Such a person gets up to speak and tell people what they need to hear. Yisoevu. And this is very, very frightening, where society has crept out to such a low level. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasik Tesen Yud, Radak Mavlig Shoid Al Oz, Vim Toymar Shetiftuchu Al Mivtzirechem. If you think you're going to rely upon your fortresses when the enemy is about to arrive, okay, Hashem, we don't need you, we can take care of ourselves. So Hashem responds, Hakel Yisparachu Hamachzik Hoyev Hashoydeid Al Am Az. So this is exactly what Rash, what the Mitsudos David said. He learns the word show to me the enemy, not the victim. We're not discussing here the Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. We're discussing here the Shoyd is the Shoydidim, the wicked enemy, the plunderers. They will prevail upon your arrogance, your might, your mistaken belief of Koichi V'Yitzim Yod, the Osli Esachayil Hazeh. The Shoyde will come upon the Mivtsar that's strong, will capture it. Repeat itself, this, many words, the same idea. They will be the enemy and the plunderer. The Mahdi will come and attack and destroy. This is just a grammatical point. I don't know much about this. Chom, lechem chom. I think whatever, I don't know what this means. Let's go further.
Well, he's comparing shod and chom grammatically.
Grammatically, okay, so it's the same grammatical form. Hamavlik, poil yoytse, another lesson in grammar. Min ve'avligo me'ot v'hu poil oymeid, it means an action. A verb, poil oymeid is an active verb. One of the English equivalent of these, all these different terms, these grammatical terms, but it means action. Action, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actively bring the enemy upon your mighty fortresses and destroy you. Sanu, mi shemachicham b'shar klam barabim. So you see the Radak learns like who? Barabim, like the Mitsudos. Okay, the Radak over here is ignoring Rashi. He's following the Mitsudos all the way through. Yisnu oiso, they hate this person. The amochichim heim nivihu, the mochichim heim nivihu emes, the hachasidim, shabuhem, the righteous ones, umochichim oisam barabim, ufi shem rabim, the heim yoshve shar, tmuras hashoeftim hayisharim. They are the many, and they sit in the gate, tmuras hashoeftim hayisharim, in exchange instead of the shoiftim, the upright judges. We're living here at a time of corruption. And there are no shoiftim that are yashar. So these nevi'im, these prophets, have to take their place. They have to be the replacement. There should have been shoiftim yasharim in the Bezdin, in the Bezdin, who are exercising mishpat and tzedek, but they're not doing so. So now there's a protest. That's really what it says. Instead of outside the court, who's outside the courtroom? People are protesting with signs, and they're protesting the corruption of the judges, and these are the Nevi Emes, and they are in the Shar, outside the Bezdin, outside the court, in the public domain, telling people, shape up. V'doiver tamim, zochar tamim v'yosha kihu toyar. It's a term, it's a title, description, ohu shem, kmo ish in the Emes uv'tamim, if you, with sincerity and with uprightness, V'yonasam tirgim ule dim malel kevon yosa me'akmin or me'amkin. Those who speak with kavana, which means precision that has depth. Okay, penetrating precision. That's what it means, and that's translation. That the people who speak with penetrating precision of what exactly you're doing wrong. What exactly, they have a real feel, a real true take, analysis of what is going on in society. Okay, we fool ourselves. You walk in the street, everything is fine and wonderful and good, and everyone's so kind and generous and righteous. That's one approach. But there are people who have precision. They're able to study society and tell you, give you the real, what's really going on in this world. This is a really good thing to write down and memorize, how he teaches this word, v'doiver tamim. He's not teaching doiver tamim, people who are tzaddikim, people who are righteous, nevi'im, all of the mush, and the feeling. This means people who are right on. What's the, there must be some good English words to describe
spot
this.
On.
Spot on. People who are spot on. Their analysis of society is on the mark. On the mark. They write an editorial, they got it. the whole world thinks everything is fine and good. That's what it means, doiver tamim, penetrating precision and insight to what is really taking place in society. These people are banned. They're burned at the stake.
They distort. That's how the people.
Society.
He who speaks truly, they distort.
They distort. They edit their words. Like, you ever see an article, someone gets up to speak? I once saw this. They didn't do it because the editors knew it was so wild. I once went to an event, and one of the speakers, he said, I'm telling you crazy, crazy things. Things that are just... There were three speakers, okay? And they all spoke for a long amount of time. And one of them, I don't know what got into him. Yeah, he must have had a bad day. He must have had a fight with his wife that day. I don't know. And he got it. He didn't prepare. He knew what he was saying. He knew what he was thinking. And maybe he didn't realize there were so many people listening. And the media was here recording his every word. And he said outrageous, outrageous things. So I was wondering, what is the FJJ going to do when they write this up? I was really, really curious. I normally don't read the FJJ, but I went out of my way to pick it up and to search the paper because I knew for sure they were going to write up what happened and they're going to write up b'diyuk what they said. So the first speaker, they had a whole page, three quarters of a page, writing mamish, mila b'mila, what he said, shtark of the Torah. And the third speaker, they wrote up, and this guy who spoke longer than both of them, they had one little paragraph, writing something that he did not say, because they, Baruch Hashem, like me, realized, what in the world did you just say? Are you out of your mind? We can't write this, what you just said. It doesn't make any sense. It's not true. It's crazy. It's an embarrassment for you and for all of us. So we're not going to write this. But we have to write. You know, we're going to put your picture in the paper. We have respect for you. So we're going to rewrite it. We're going to rewrite what you probably meant to say. And we don't want to elaborate too much because we don't want people to start asking too many questions because everyone there was like, what? So we're going to rewrite it, what you meant to say, in one short paragraph. Okay? Distortion. Okay? Distortion. I'm telling you, it's true. I'm not telling you a baba maisa. I'm telling you, mamish, and you have to be down with kaf schus that he had a bad day. What can I say? There's no other way to. Everyone is entitled to have a bad day, right? No one's perfect. Everyone's entitled. Okay, so this concludes the Radak. We have another minute here. Okay, let's just do another minute. Let's take a look quickly at just begin maybe at least the Malbim. Let's see if I'll end the Malbim. It's very short. The Malbim, Pasik Tes and Yud, Pasik Tes in the Malbim, Hamavlig, Vichin Alide Shahofhu, Lilanam, Mishbot, Hotha Hased, Gam Itzel, Ben Adam, Shashid, Skader, Al Gam Alas. The Malbim learns like who? Like Rashi. That you want to be corrupt, you want to pervert society. So you know what? Hashem says, I'm also going to punish you, Mida Kineged Mida. You want to take what's good and transform it to what is evil? Mida Kineged Mida. I will take the weak and feeble, and I will allow them to prevail upon the mighty and strong to destroy you. The Gam Ritzon Elohim Shehashed Atzma Hiskaber Aleihem. Destruction itself prevailed upon them. Now he's learning like who? Like Rashi. The Malbim covers all ground. The Malbim is saying, giving us the Pshat first like the Mitzudais, and then he tells us the Pshat like Rashi. Now first he says like Rashi, and then he says like the Mitzudais. Sheh Sheratzma Yisgaber Aleim Sheal Yidei Hashoyed Nenshu Li Upanished. The Gam Shoyed Al Mivtzor Yovoy Sheh Gam Sheh Oaz Yeshe Be'ir Mivtzor Loisatzilenu HaMivtzor. The end will be is that they will be destroyed. Pasuk Yud, Sanu Amar Oyd Sibal Lenefilasam Shbein Mekim. Another reason why Nafla Loi Soisif Kum. Another reason why they will not rise up. Yan Shesanu Es Hamuchichim Sheratzu Liyashom LaHashivam LaDerech LaNechayna. They hate those who give them Musar. Bein Hamuchich Al Dvar Mishpat Bein Al Mchaver Shu Mechich Bishar Shesham Mekayim Hamishpat. He's saying over here a very scary idea, is that when you don't have teachers, if you don't have leaders, there is no hope. Nafla loy soisifkum. As long as we have leaders, people who are in charge, then there's hope, because maybe they will succeed in telling us to do the right thing. But if we remove their authority and we remove tzaddikim from a position of authority, then there is no hope. We will never come to our senses. And that's what the Malbim says, why this pasuk is being brought here. It's explaining why it says, Nafla, you have fallen, loy soisif kum. You will never rise again. You know why? Because you have removed from society people, leaders. You've taken away the authority from the tzaddikim. And then you're done. It's curtains. I will continue tomorrow with Hashem. We have to Baruch Hashem, Sephardim, Sefer, Hasidim, for everyone here. A whole Sefer. No photocopies.
Do you think such a would like to stop them already?
What do you mean?
The message was rejected.
No, it wasn't rejected.
The
more alive than it ever was.
Look at Jacob. I mean, it wasn't, but amongst the,
amongst the world?
Jacob Joseph.
I mean, I don't. His sheep are.
They listen to his message.
They have respect for him, of course. They have respect.
Yeah. Look, they read it safer.
They're very
dangerous. Jacob Joseph did. You could have done
Yeah,
big. And Gedolim did. No, but he was the chief rabbi.
Yes.
What did he want? It was money. Everything was money.
It was like cash.
I was at a lecture where we stood. I tell you something, maybe you know the rabbi. All of a sudden, he was talking about one rabbi just came up and talked from this rabbi and didn't let him speak. He told me, you have questions, come ask. Because I want to be a rabbi. I said, talk to him. He brought sources. And he didn't let him speak. Finally, I said, I was going to say, let the guy speak. The rabbi just shoot. I got to be here. So the rabbi, the real rabbi, walked up and said, please wait till the end of the show. Then he gets up and says, you don't let me speak? I believe. If I tell you, you would believe. Maybe you would believe. I'm against it. What?
I would believe that. I have seen.
A rabbi from Shul. What could a rabbi come from one? It's not that he's speaking in the public school.
It's
like, and the people. One guy said to me, if he's this, I'm going to win. I said, I don't know. I can't take up too many new stuff.
Eric called me to say. So,
they have it. We don't believe the rabbi. That's the whole thing. She saw her on film.